Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
There's lots of news today. There was a lynch mob outside Wall Street. Of course, they were aiming their wrath at the wrong people. It wasn't the Wall Street traders who should be on trial. It's the government itself. And we're going to talk about is exactly who in the government permitted the casino of Wall Street to operate, because you could aim it at the wrong people and have a lynch mob hanging the wrong people. The big news, of course, comes out of Florida in one way, where Charlie Judas has decided not to run as a Republican, but Charlie Judas, you know him as Charlie Crist. Charlie Judas is going to run as an independent in order to screw up the election. I don't think he's going to win, but Charlie Judas, of course, is an egomaniac, crossed to the dark side, reaching out to the Democrats now, exactly what the real conservatives have said about Charlie Judas for a long time. I want to talk instead about the new Arizona immigration law, because many of you liberals are hysterical. You're wrong, and I'm going to prove you to be hysterical and wrong. What you don't know is that the new Arizona law, which you call fascist and Nazi, mirrors federal law. Federal law already requires aliens, that would be your constituency, aliens mean non-citizens, to register and carry their documents with them, 8 U.S.C. 1304E and 8 U.S.C. 1306A. The new Arizona law simply states that violating federal immigration law is now a state crime as well. And because illegal immigrants are by definition in violation of federal immigration laws, they can now be arrested by local law enforcement in Arizona. How many different ways do I have to tell you, hysterical liberals, that the new Arizona law mirrors federal law? It is not a new law. It only permits the state to do what the federal government refuses to do, even though the laws are on the book. Now, but I want to talk to a more fundamental point, which is the hysteria and lies of the radical left in the media and the government complex. The left is defaming Arizona and the people of Arizona by using the word Nazi. They're keeping hoodwinked into thinking that somehow these laws in Arizona are exactly what went on in Nazi Germany. This couldn't be further from the truth. Do you know actually what happened, what the Nazis did actually? Do you have any idea what actually happened? I don't know how any Jewish Holocaust survivor or any supporter of any Jewish causes cannot be sickened by this watering down of the word Nazi or fascist. The Nazis didn't just arrest people. The Nazis actually tortured people and then sent them to death camps. The people of Arizona are not going to simply round people up because they're Hispanic. The law says that there has to be reasonable suspicion that the person that they arrest is an illegal alien. Again, let me repeat, in case you missed it. The new Arizona law mirrors federal law, which already requires your friends, your constituents, that is aliens, that is non-citizens, to register and carry their documents with them, 8 U.S.C. 1304E and 8 U.S.C. 1306A. Send that to Janet Napolitano. The new Arizona law mimics the federal law that Janet Napolitano and Barack Obama will not enforce. Nazism? What a disgrace. The Nazis didn't deport people. The Nazis sent them to concentration camps to be slaughtered by the millions. This has nothing to do with Arizona's immigration law. But let me ask you about the following acts that occurred on the Democrats. Let me ask you if those acts mimicked in any way that of the Gestapo or of Nazis. What about Janet Napolitano's black helicopters who went after the Michigan militia? Does that sound like Nazism to you? We're actually following this case up in Michigan, and there is a liberal federal judge who happens to be a black woman, appointed by Bill Clinton, who is actually doing the job liberals are supposed to do. She is asking the overreaching federal government to prove that the militia did more than talk. That's right. There is still one real liberal left in the court. Her name, Roberts, Victoria A. Roberts, a federal judge for the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Michigan, appointed by Bill Clinton. She served as the 62nd president of the State Bar of Michigan, becoming the first African-American woman to hold the position. This woman is demanding that Janet Napolitano's Gestapo squad prove that the people that were put up in jail, the nine members of a Michigan militia accused of plotting war against the government, that they did more than just talk and they should remain locked up. She has listened for hours. She has not made a decision as to whether the nine will remain in custody, saying only the ruling would come out pretty soon. She said the following. She said, mere presence where a crime may be planned is not a crime. How does this add up to seditious conspiracy, the judge asked. The government, of course, was caught flat-footed as usual. A lawyer, Arthur Weiss, a lawyer for one of the defendants, one of the Michigan militia, said that disgust with the government, as recorded by the undercover agent, is similar to what's said daily by radio and TV talk show hosts Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, and Sean Hannity. The lawyer said, millions of people are talking about taking our country back, Weiss said. Now, I hope that this doesn't lead the government to arrest my cohorts, Limbaugh, Beck, and Hannity, simply for talking about taking the country back. But one never knows where this kind of overreaching by a government might lead. So again, I ask, if you want to talk about real Nazism, real fascism, let's talk about when the FBI shot Randy Weaver's wife and child to death under Bill Clinton. Did that sound like the Nazis? What about when Janet Reno burned dozens of people alive at the Waco compound in Texas? Did that sound like actual fascism and Nazism? The media didn't call it at that time. So before the illiberal fascists of the left start calling maliciously this name and that name, they really ought to look at the history of what Nazism actually is. Moreover, they ought to look at the hypocrisy of Mexico itself. Remember yesterday I told you how Mexico, the government that is criticizing the people of Arizona for passing this law, how Mexico itself treats immigrants from Guatemala and other countries? Well, here's a report from the liberal Amnesty International. And Amnesty International, of course, I guess is now a conservative group. But Amnesty International says that many immigrants into Mexico are getting pulled off trains, kidnapped en masse, held at gang hideouts. They're beaten, raped, or killed. One female immigrant was robbed and forced off a train by Mexican federales and subsequently attacked by a gang and raped in Mexico. This is from Amnesty International. So this is about Mexico itself and how they treat illegal immigrants. They take them off trains, they beat them up, they rob them, and they rape them or they kill them. So the next time you hear a liberal talking about how fascist Arizona is, ask your lib friend if they know how they treat illegal aliens south of the border down Mexico way. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. If you care to talk about these or any other topics, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let us begin across the country, across the land, north, south, east, and west. It is the Savage Nation. I don't know if I want to do this anymore today. What else do I want to talk about? Well, we got some good sound bites of all of the hysterical liberals whose constituency is largely illegal aliens, meaning non-citizens. How in the world can Mayor Bloomberg say that we're committing national suicide by clamping down on illegal aliens? Many people would say that we committed national suicide by permitting rhinos like him to run as Republicans. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So the illegitimate left-wing academics, the media illegitimi, the government illegitimi are hysterical as usual, misquoting the law as usual, and mischaracterizing a law which actually mimics federal law. The state law in Arizona is a direct mimic of the federal law, but you wouldn't know it coming out of Obama or Holder's mouth or any of the academic know-nothings. I guess they don't even know their own laws because they're not enacting them, they're not following them. So here's a state that's had enough of the drug dealing, enough of the rapes, enough of the murders, enough of the robberies, enough of the destruction of schools and hospitals. And they said enough is enough. Every state needs laws like this because really they mimic federal law. Right away, the left goes into overdrive and hyperbolically starts saying Nazi and fascist without even understanding that they're actually defaming all of the Jews, all of the socialists, all of the gypsies, and all of the priests who stood up to Hitler. The minute you start throwing Nazi and fascist around, what you're doing is you're insulting the graves of those who were killed by the Nazis and fascists. But, you know, I don't expect anything more from an illegitimate, ignorant left. I went back into one of my earlier books, The Savage Nation, and look at the sound bites I found. Tell me if they still don't apply. The future of America hangs in the balance like a loose tooth. Liberalism is a dangerous mental disorder. Like decaying civilizations of the past, America's fall will come from the decadence within and the security threats from without. A liberal is someone who wants to understand the guy who just broke into their house, who burnt the place down, who raped his wife and who murdered his kids. He wants to understand them. Let's see. I'm trying to find those that would fit. In the leftist-leaning America of today, you're free to believe whatever you want about religion, unless you're a Jew or a Christian. You know what the greatest pleasure I have every day on my show? I love the taste of liberals in the afternoon. They're particularly succulent by the end of the day. Oh, let's see. I refuse to whistle Dixie while my country is being overrun by psycho-lib communazi organizations like the ACLU, who defend child molesters and terrorists. Back when America was still moral and whole, our meatballs were big, soft, and tasty. Now that we've become immoral and mean and socialist, our meatballs are like Swedish meatballs, small and tasteless. Let's see. In America, I better not read this one. It's liable to really set off a shockwave. Well, there's other things like that. The Founding Fathers guaranteed us freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. I like that one. Also, here's a few others that I wrote back. Then one dirty bomb can ruin your entire day. We need more patent and less patent leather. Most listeners don't know the difference between linguine, fettuccine, and Mussolini. I long for the time of the past when the chrome was thick and there was much less hate. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. What do you want to talk about? The immigrant thing is really a big deal, isn't it? Let's go to Max in New York, who's offended by the term Nazi. Max, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. First of all, Dr. Savage, before I get to my point, I'm offended by your use of the word rapist. Please, from now on, use the term undocumented spouses.
Undocumented sausage? Wait, undocumented sausage?
Spouses.
Wait, let's start again. You don't like my using the word racist?
Rapist, please use undocumented spouses. Just lacking the marriage license.
I don't understand your point, but let me go to the next point. What is it that made you call? I don't follow what you're saying.
My main point was I'm extremely offended by the use of the Nazi analogy. For the Jews, without getting graphic, they were forced to remove articles of clothing to verify their racial status. They were not forced to produce papers. That would have been a heyday for the Jews. They were subject to the most despicable...
Right, and of course they were not deported. They were sent to a death camps. So it's a little different than sending people back to their home country. That was my point. So in a way you're agreeing with me, I assume.
No, of course I agree with you. I was joking by saying they're not racist.
What you're saying is many people come here and they get fake green cards by marrying American women. Is that it?
Yeah, of course. This country
of course. We know the racket. New York City's filled with people who married illegal aliens to give them American citizenship. We know the whole racket. And the American people are like fed up with it, basically. Thanks, Max. I appreciate the call. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. San Francisco. California, Jack, welcome to the Savage Nation, 860 on a dial. Let me get you quick before the baseball clicks in. What's on your mind on 860? Quick before the ball game starts, Jack, what's on your mind?
I want you to talk about the Hegelian dialectic and how it relates to communitarian law that is at a breakneck pace in this country right now. Marx and Engels picked up Hegel's synthesis. Basically, it's a thesis versus antithesis equals a synthesis. This is the illusion of opposites that I love you for, because you don't take sides, Republican, Democrat. They're all, when they reach the upper echelons, on the same team.
You understand, when I introduced the term Fabian socialism 3, 4, 5 years ago, I knew that maybe 0.1% of the audience would pick up on it. You were that 0.1%.
Michael, I've been reading Fabian Sochan, where our Federal Reserve System has come from, and how this came from the bourgeoisie of England. They were bored. They didn't know what to do.
I know that, but wouldn't you agree with me that Obama is only in a long line of plants inside the government in order to usher in worldwide Fabian socialism?
Absolutely. Every president we've had since JFK, every one of them has been a hand-picked puppet of the New World Order. Kennedy.
All right, well, let's pause for a minute. So who runs the New World Order? Let's assume that your theory is correct and there is this nefarious New World Order. Who's in charge of it?
Okay, I'll tell you exactly. Many heads of state, many corporations, vice president, Goldman Sachs, like you said, J.P. Morgan, Citibank, Heinz, Mr. Heinz Corporation. I'm not saying all corporations are bad, but when they reach that level where money means nothing and it becomes about ideology and power, Michael, this whole green...
So you're saying the transnational corporations, the very large ones, in their own self-interest, would rather see national boundaries disappear in order to increase market share, in plain English?
Absolutely.
All right, so that's why the Wall Street Journal is anti-nationalism. That's why the Wall Street Journal continues to editorialize in favor of illegal immigration. That's why a stooge like Bloomberg, who made billions of dollars bamboozling people, says that we're committing national suicide by cracking down on illegal immigrants. I mean, this all fits into your theory, correct?
Absolutely. They want a world with no borders. Look at the Trilateral Commission. That was founded by the Rockefeller family in 1973. Who do you think bought the land that the United Nations sits on? The Rockefeller family.
Right. And who is it who's been calling the Republicans Rockefeller Republicans, check pants Republicans, ever since I started in radio in 1994? It's me. By the way, I'm going to tell you what. My new book that's going to come out in September is going to shake the world. It's about the Marxist-Leninist roots of Obama and his entire administration and how he is not alone and how George Bush actually greased the skids for this downfall of the United States of America. And by the way, they never expected the Tea Parties, which is why they're fighting them with every lie in history. They never thought the American people would awaken from the dead. It's all going to be in my rocket bestseller in September. I can't even tell you any more about it. I've just finished 110,000 words. It's going to the publisher. You can't believe what I've been working on.
Savage.
Let's all pull back. Let's stop letting the liberals characterize the people of Arizona as Nazis and fascists when, in fact, the state law mimics federal law to the T. That's number one. Number two, you must not let liberals use the word Nazi and fascist in such a cavalier fashion because it does a terrible, terrible disservice to the millions of people slaughtered by Nazis and fascists. And number three, I got to remind you again that I am the son of an immigrant. I come from an immigrant family. I lived in an immigrant community. I have frequented immigrant communities. So don't lecture me about immigration and immigrants. I know all about it. And of course, I am not naive. Of course, I'm aware what the derogatory, know what it meant, without papers. I'm aware of that. But there's a huge difference between a trickle of immigrants who came into the country without papers and a flood. There's a big difference between a trickle of immigrants who came into the country without papers and were necessary in order to fuel the factories. And this wave of immigrants coming into a country that is bankrupt, broke, kaput, out of money, no gold, no government, no backing whatsoever. There are no jobs. The people in this country need help, not illegal immigrants. And now go to the next step. We just had Obama jam down our throats healthcare. For 1 year, he catered to the illegal immigrant mobs. For 1 year, he catered to La Raza and the illegal immigrant mobs. And the reason I say it is that the largest majority of this population that is not covered by health care are illegal immigrants. The whole damn thing was meant to satisfy La Raza and the illegal immigrant communities. And that's still not enough for them. After getting illegal immigrant health care jammed down our throats, now they want citizenship and they want to be rewarded for breaking the law. And the people have finally said no to the federal government, who is breaking the law itself. So who is the lawbreaker? The lawbreaker is the federal government for not following their own laws. If they don't like the law that says that they have to carry papers, and I'll repeat the law again, the Arizona law mirrors federal law, which requires your friends, the illegal aliens, non-citizens, to register and carry their documents with them. It's 8 U.S.C. 1304E and 8 U.S.C. 1306A. if the federal government wants to repeal that law, then let them have a healthy debate about it in Congress. That's the proper place to do it, not in the newspapers by characterizing the American people as Nazis and fascists. But it gets worse. A Republican congressman who has a large Hispanic constituency in Florida has jumped ship, as you well know, and Connie Mack has come out and compared the Arizona law to Nazi Germany. Shame on him. Representative Connie Mack, R. Florida, ripped into the new Arizona immigration law today comparing it to Nazi Germany. Here is what he said. This law of frontier justice, where law enforcement officials are required to stop anyone based on a reasonable suspicion that they may be in the country illegally, is reminiscent of a time during World War II when the Gestapo in Germany stopped people on the street and asked for their papers without probable cause, Dummy Mack said in a statement. He said, this is not the America I grew up in and believe in. It's not the America I want my children to grow up in. The Arizona law would allow law enforcement officers who come into legal contact with an individual to demand proof of citizenship if there is a reasonable suspicion that the person may be undocumented. Connie Mack is full of crap. Connie Mack should never be reelected. Connie Mack is a potential candidate for statewide office in Florida. But frankly, all he is doing is appealing to the illegal immigrant Hispanic population in Florida. Now, for him to be the ranking Republican on the Western Hemisphere subcommittee is a nightmare. It's a nightmare to see so many Republicans joining the illegitimate, both in the media and the academic university, the academic worlds, coming up with this bullcrap that the Arizona law is equal to that of Nazi Germany. This is an outrage. Now, having said all of that, I'm going to cool down this truck called the Savage Nation. I'm going to cool it down by going back to another time when I continuously ate in immigrant communities. I still do, by the way. I always eat in immigrant communities, the only place I like to eat other than in my own house. And years ago, I lived in New York. Growing up as I did, there were lots of immigrant restaurants. And one of them was a restaurant for poor people that served great Italian food on 14th Street in New York. And I remember when I was a little boy, my parents would take me into this restaurant, how great it felt to be there. And years ago, I was invited by some Italian friends at a museum to deliver this poem to the audience. It's called When Pasta Was Spaghetti. Listen to it. The hairy forearms of New York serve you your coffee with a turning gesture, an offering that says drink, eat, enjoy. The wiry Italian in Vincent's clam bar, the one behind the greased over register, the young kid connected who receives his deference from the spaghetti cook older than his gangster father, the spaghetti cook who looks like an old-fashioned doctor from the Bronx with clipped mustache. He actually pulls some noodles out of the pot and eats them as they cook, looking to the grimy ceiling for his tender answer. Well, they used to call it spaghetti. Now it's pasta at $10 a plate. The smoky windows of Romeo's Spaghetti now offers radios and knickknacks. It was 50 cents a plate then. In neon letters that you couldn't miss, even through a fogged-over window on a cold winter's eve, there was life. Marinara sauce that smacked to the sea. Noodles as long as your young arm. Meatballs as fluffy as your dream of them. Bread on the table you'd eat against your parents' admonitions that the meal was coming, the meal was coming. And men, some burly with black hairy forearms whose smiles scared you, and little skinny guys with the look of murder on their faces, and people who slurped their spaghetti straight to their mouths from the plate, one motion like Chinese shoveling rice at mouth with clicking sticks. That was gusto before it became a beer ad. That was taste before it became a synonym for fashion. That was spaghetti before it became pasta. And that leads me back to this whole question of illegal immigration and why it's such a painful story for all of us. We are all in one way or another descended from immigrants, whether it be five generations ago or four or three or two or one. In my case, as I say, I am the son of an immigrant father and immigrant mother. And so many people identify with their ancestors and they feel it's unfair to single out the folks from south of the border. They have a sympathy for them and they also see who is doing the hard work. I mean, you have to be blind not to see it. I did years ago write an incredible piece. Remember the ones, guys, I wrote about being in Kentucky Fried Chicken and seeing the Mexican man on Sunday with his little daughter and his wife? Remember that one? I'd love you to, I don't know if you can pull that one up. I don't even remember it, but everyone says we remember that. Don't think I'm blind. I see what's going on in this country, but that's not the point. It's not about the individual hardworking illegal immigrant. We all know who does all of the hard work in this country. And that's not the issue. The issue is, why have the American people stopped doing these jobs? As I tried to point out to you yesterday, there's a confluence of factors. Maybe they were by accident. Maybe they were by design. You can come up with any sort of excuse that you want about how this happened. It's irrelevant how it happened. It has to stop. If you were to cut off welfare for able-bodied individuals, you would force them to take the menial jobs that only the immigrants are doing. Moreover, the lazy bum teenagers sitting around your house smoking dope and watching Comedy Central would be forced to go out and clean a car, mow a lawn, blow a leaf if the jobs were available. They would do the job if you didn't have a welfare state called you yourself, if you just didn't empower them by giving them money if the jobs existed. What I'm telling you is that there are many ramifications of this large number, this 10% of the population, I think it's much higher. They say it's 10%, it's probably much higher, of this population is immigrant. Now, what percent of that 10% is illegal, I really don't know. The estimates from the government are 10 to 12 million. That's a total lie. You know that everything the government puts out is a lie. When they tell you something will cost a trillion, you know it'll cost 10 trillion. When they tell you that there's only 10 million illegal immigrants, you can figure it's 30 million at the very least. We all understand that the government distorts things. We understand how Obama distorted during the debate towards socialized medicine. We know he held back the actual data and lied straight to our face because the man has been a liar from the day he entered politics. The man is a liar from the day he entered politics. And I'm sick and tired of everybody going so softly about him because he's the president. I'm just sick of it. Why must you assume because somebody achieves the highest office that he's somehow above the law, that somehow he doesn't lie, that somehow he doesn't act like everybody else, and that somehow he might just be worse than you are, not better than you are? He's only a man, but he might not even have the interests of America in his heart. That's the absolute truth and reality, and you know it. You know it, and 30 million, 40 million Americans know it, and they can't stand it anymore. They see what he just did with Nancy Pelosi, the most hated woman in the history of America. Nancy Pelosi, who they pulled off the stage after she walked around with that witch-like smile, that Botox face, and that monstrous hammer, bringing out every fear a man has ever had about a castrating female, walked around with a large hammer. It was unbelievable. And she thought she was loved for it. The woman is a zany whack job. We understand that. So what did they do with her? Pulled her off the stage. When does she reappear? She reappears at a press conference, I believe on Monday, with the children of journalists. The children of the journalists asked questions of her and made statements, rather. No, they were questions that were harder than the parents themselves would dare ask her, and she was flummoxed. She didn't know what to say. It was unbelievable to me. It was unbelievable to watch this. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have liars running this country. We know that. We have deceivers running this country. We have deceivers running every avenue of government. Now, if this is radical for you, tell me that I'm wrong. Tell me that liars and deceivers are not running the government. Prove to me that I'm wrong. Now, what are you going to say, that liars and deceivers can't rise to the highest office? That the system would make sure that they were rooted out? Are you kidding me? All you wonderful leftists who call George Bush every name under the sun for 8 straight years? Suddenly you're going to tell me that Obama and his minions of leftists are suddenly clean as the driven snow? You must be kidding. We have trouble. And I don't know how to solve the problem. But I know that when Connie Mack, a Republican rhino of Florida, compares the Arizona law to Nazi Germany, I know we're really in trouble. And I keep repeating to you that the real problem here is that the facts are not being put out there. So again, I'm going to repeat it. I'll repeat it all day long. The new Arizona law only mirrors federal law, which already requires aliens, non-citizens, to register and carry their documents with them. 8 U.S.C. 1304E and 8 U.S.C. 1306A. So for Connie Mack and Mayor Bloomberg of New York to say it's like Nazi Germany or whatever means that they're ignorant of the law themselves, and yet they're lawmakers, to show you how far we have fallen. When the lawmakers side with lawbreakers, what does that tell you about the United States of America? I'll be right back.
Why do fools fall in love? Why do birds sing so gay?
I love this song. just having a good time. You think I'm going to eat my heart out over this, you're mistaken. If I have an illegitimate government, what do you want me to do about it? When you have lawmakers siding with lawbreakers, what do you want me to do about it? I'm only a talk show host. It's your fault. You elected the lawbreakers, not me. We are talking about the illegitimate who are grinding the country down. All right, thanks, Frankie. Give him a few whatever, and we'll see him in the you-know-where. So the illegitimate liberals are screaming bloody murder, saying Nazi and fascist, because the illegals are being asked to show their ID. Let me ask all of you good liberals something. Have you recently tried not showing your ID when you board an airplane? Have you good libs tried not showing your ID when a cop stopped you for having your taillight out? Have you good libs gone to a grocery store and written a check recently and be asked for your ID? Have you said, I won't do it because you're a Nazi? I know all of you idiots believe that anybody asking for identification of illegal immigrant is a fascist, but how come it doesn't apply to you, you morons? WOR New York, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, agree with all your points. I agree with your last point is a brilliant point.
Mark, I want to hear you, but I'm getting a fogged voice like in a Dixie cup.
25 million people here. They're here, Michael. It's partly the Democrats. It's partly the checkered pants Republicans repress the working man's wages. But we need, they're here. They could become our soldiers, Michael. They could become paying taxes. I want to make the point.
Oh, they could be. They could be, but they're not becoming our soldiers, are they? They're not being given the option of joining the military and going on the front lines in Afghanistan in order to earn citizenship, are they? I called for that 5 years ago. I'm all for it. Sure, say to the illegal immigrants, I'll tell you what, you have a choice. We're going to either deport you or you're a healthy young man. We're going to put you in a special brigade. You're going to go to the front lines of Afghanistan. You're going to fight for the country for a year. And if you come back alive, we'll make you a citizen. I have no problem with that, but I don't hear the government giving them any option other than we'll protect you no matter what the citizens say. Now, with regard to your bigger point, which is that we need them because they are here, I actually disagree with you. I certainly am not naive. I know who works in the factories. I know who work in the slaughterhouses. I know who clean the toilets. I know who does the gardening. I know all of that. I'm not blind. But let me ask you something. What if over the next 2 to 4 years, the illegals were encouraged to repatriate themselves back to their home countries? Don't you think that slews of Americans would fill those jobs?
Michael, I hear your point. We've lost the work ethic in this country, Michael.
Yes, we have. And one of the reasons we have lost the work ethic is because of the welfare state giganticized under LBJ and expanded, of course, through each administration after LBJ. Yes, the Great Society was a front for communism. We understand that. Socialism light, if you want to put it to you that way. You eliminate welfare for able-bodied citizens. Where are they going to get the money from in order to work? They're going to have to take menial jobs whether they want to or not. I mean, it's a fact of reality. Didn't you work menial jobs when you were young? I did. I worked in the worst jobs you could imagine. I hated the jobs. I didn't do it because I loved it. I did it because I had to. I worked my way through college. Why? Because I wouldn't have rather had a good time and gone away somewhere. I went to City College in New York, Queens College. You think I wouldn't have wanted to go to so-called out-of-town school? We didn't have the money to go. My father had a heart attack. I had to work my way through college. I know what it is to work. I still work when I could retire. Why am I still working when I could retire? Why do I keep working? Because I have the work ethic. How did I get the work ethic? Because my father built it into me. He wasn't a bum. And if the white liberal parents wouldn't baby their children and made them go to work, then the children would have a work ethic. It's not that hard to do in a child. Deny them money and tell them to go get a job. Suddenly they'll know how to work. What's so hard about that?
Well, Michael, you're right. And you're right when you say not all of the people have come here to work, but 70 to 80% of them work very hard, and they have.
Yes, they do work very hard. And if you slowly repatriated them by making it tougher and tougher for them to be here, the jobs would go begging, the salaries would go up, and what would happen? People would take the jobs. So the line cooks who are now making $15 an hour, suddenly they'd have to pay maybe $18 an hour. And native citizens would get the jobs, wouldn't they?
Yeah, well, here in New York City, I think they're paying them a lot less than $15.
So let the greedy restaurant owners pay another $3 an hour and hire a citizen. I don't want to hear any more from the restaurant owners. They can't afford it. They can afford it pretty good. They just want to pocket the difference in their own pocket, their own kitty. I know what it's all about. I'm sick and tired of the double talk. I meet too many guys who are conservatives on one side and exploiting the worker on the other. Let them pay a higher wage. You know, there's plenty of Americans who could work given the opportunity. Let's go to the issue of trade schools. You open up culinary schools where culinary, tell them how to be a cook, culinary. Everything is some fancy word. Teach the guy how to cook, never mind culinary institute. You'll go past these culinary institutes with the kids with the pimples. They put a white hat on them. Teach them how to cook, for God's sakes. And let them start on the bottom. Let them start on the bottom and learn how to be a cook by working around chefs. They don't have to become a fancy chef to learn how to be a cook. Let them learn how to make an egg in the morning. Let them start to make a decent egg and a piece of ham. See if they can boil or make a fry a sausage and make an egg stand up on a plate. Start with that instead of some souffle that they don't know how to make. So again, let's go to the basic point. I went to Jamaica High School. It was an academic high school, but there was a commercial high school and there was a trade school. Some kids were not given over to wanting to academic course to go to college. They knew it from the get-go. So they went into the trade school and they learned the trade. They learned how to be an auto mechanic. They learned how to be an electrician. They learned how to be a plumber. And they went out and they made a very decent living. Tell me what happened to the trade schools in America. They dried up because the greedy employers would rather exploit somebody from Mexico who knows how to fix a car, who knows how to drill a pipe, who knows how to saw a piece of wood. But the fact of the matter is, if the laws were changed where you couldn't hire a citizen, then the trade schools would open up. You talk about a stimulus. How stimulating would that be if we had a slew of trade schools opening up across America that citizens only could apply to? Wouldn't that be wonderful? To see armies of men and women learning how to use saws and hammers and pliers and tools. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could do things again?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I am the Boy Scout Michael Savage. I am the son of an immigrant. I love America. I've had a love affair with America ever since I was born. I will not fall out of love with this mistress of mine called America, ever. I will not stop speaking the truth, ever. I wake up and I see lawmakers siding with lawbreakers, and frankly, it breaks my heart. But it doesn't mean I'm going to give up. It means I'm going to fight harder. I'm going to fight harder. We're living in a world that is upside down. Alice in Wonderland had nothing. It was nothing compared to what Obama's done to this nation. And it's nothing compared to what's going on in the United Nations. Today, of course, it reached the apogee of insanity. Iran, the repressive Iran, the woman-hating Iran, the Iran where the Hitler of the New World, Iran, where the Hitler of the New World Order operates, Ahmadinejad, a nation that beats immodest women, a nation that beheads women, Iran, elected by the United Nations to its Human Rights Monitoring Commission on the Status of Women. Has the world ever been crazier? And to top it off, the Hitler of Iran, all 5'1" of him, will be in the United States of America to spread his hatred right in the heart of New York. How in the world can this country survive when we have such weaklings running the world? Very tough they are on American patriots, and oh so pliant are they when it comes to the world's dictators? Which leads us to this issue of illegal immigration again. The illegitimi on the left are hysterical for a change. The hypocrisy of Mexico is overwhelmingly absurd when we know how they treat immigrants themselves, kidnapping, murdering, blackmailing them. Even the left-wing organization Amnesty International has reported on the hypocrisy of Mexico on illegal immigrants, and yet Mexico says, oh, America is a racist nation. And now we have every phony Republican and fraudulent Democrat standing up screaming Nazi, fascist about the law in Arizona. What these ignoramuses don't know is that Arizona's new law actually mirrors federal law. The federal law is clear. It requires aliens, non-citizens, to register and carry their documents with them, 8 U.S.C. 1304E and 8 U.S.C. 1306A. The new Arizona law is identical. And yet you have lawmakers siding with the lawbreakers saying, how dare you insist that we follow the law? Is it any wonder the people are rallying against the illegitimi who are ruining the country? Now, I'm also a realist. I'm a realist because I live in the real world. I don't live in the ivory tower, and I don't live in the media tower of disconnect from reality. I'm a man who actually walks in the streets and talks in the streets. So I see who does the hard work. I'm not blind. I'm not a blind man. I see in every restaurant where I go who does the cooking, who does the busing, who does the waiting. I see it. Well, that's wonderful. I am a man who works very hard, way past an age when many men would be retired. I work because the work ethic was built in me. My father drummed it into me that work was a virtue. Hard work was an even greater virtue. And harder work was even a greater virtue. I don't know. That's the way I was raised. Sometimes I wonder, why do I keep working? The answer is because I have no alternative. So I keep working. Doesn't bother me. It's an ambrosia for me. Work is my ambrosia. I wouldn't know how life could be lived without work. And yet I see millions of bums in America who have never worked a day in their life. Over here where I live, and I live in several different places, by the way, around the country and in this particular area of San Francisco, I see they build housing, for Section 8 housing, primarily for illegal immigrants and gangbangers. They wanted to make sure that the white people of the area had diversity, so they brought them in. And every day I see an illegal immigrant in a wheelchair being pushed around by his wife, smiling as they go. I ask myself, are they kidding me? Are they kidding me? How in the world did they land on Easy Street? How did they land on Easy Street? That an illegal immigrant could wind up collecting free care from the United States of America, laughing all the way to the bank. But that's just one example of the other side of the story. The big question is, could America survive without the immigrant labor force? As you well know, the Republicrats say no. As you well know, the bloated frauds like Newt Gingrich and Karl Rove will tell you that this law is bad. As you well know, fraudulent fake Republicans like Newt Gingrich and Karl Rove are already taking the other side, showing their true colors, which is not red, white, and blue, but red alone. And so the fact of the matter is, we have to get down to brass tacks. Who would do these jobs if the immigrants were to repatriate themselves? If they said, you know what, I can't stay in America anymore because they're cracking down on illegal immigration. I don't want to be arrested. It's been fun while it lasted. I have to leave. And they all started, they wouldn't all leave, but let us say 20% of the 30 million started to leave the country. What would happen? Who would take the jobs? Who would do the gardening? Who would do the cooking? Who would do the cleaning? Who would work in the slaughterhouses? The answer is people, able-bodied people on welfare. And you say, oh, what are you talking about? They don't know how to work anymore. Well, they'll learn how to work. Work is something that has to be learned. It is not in the nature of man, by the way, to work. Children are fundamentally lazy and good for nothing unless you teach them to work. They're lazy and good for nothing. They'd rather sit around and they'd rather watch television and eat a free meal and then have you give them an allowance so they can go out and buy some drugs and go to a nightclub until they're 36 years old when Obama finally takes them off health care and they're no longer a child. At 26 years of age, maybe they'll expand it to 36. They can stay home with a hairnet and you know, you both can do your hair together and your nails. The fact of the matter is, a child needs to be taught to work. A child is a formless lump of clay. Children are basically lazy and no good. You have to turn them into a worker. And that has to be done from childhood. So what do you do immediately? Let's forget the pie in the sky, Plato's Republic, reorganizing society. Let's talk about immediately. Let's say 20% of the labor force, which is illegal, goes back home. And suddenly you have jobs begging in hotel chains to make the beds. I know who makes the beds. Hardworking Guatemalan and Mexican women. I look at them. I speak with these people. I'm not immune. I can guarantee you I leave bigger tips than the liberals do. I can guarantee you, incidentally. I can guarantee you that the libs, the big mouths, don't give them 10 cents. I can guarantee you I do. So on a personal level, I know what I'm talking about. I have sympathy for hardworking people. But who would take the job is the issue, not whether I tip and you don't. The issue is who would take the job. Are you telling me that the Britney Spears lookalike girls from the suburbs are going to go and make the beds? Are you telling me that the girls from the suburbs are going to go and do menial jobs like becoming a busboy or a busgirl? I'm saying yes, they will have to. As the economy gets worse and worse, as the government finally acknowledges they're just printing money and there is no money, yes, they're going to work again. They're going to learn how to work. Maybe they'll drop a few trays in the beginning, but eventually the girls will learn to work again. The boys will learn how to work again. And then we will open thousands of trade schools across America. You put me in charge of this, I can guarantee you I could straighten this country out in less than 4 years. I would take hundreds of millions of dollars that is being wasted on Nancy Pelosi's road projects, and I would open up trade schools across America. And I said trade. Don't tell me everyone's ready for college and they all need a computer. Take a look at what's in college today. Go take a look at what goes on in your colleges. Everyone's a college boy. Take a look with their pants hanging under their behinds. That's a college boy marching around. The idiots, they're stupid when they come in. They're stupider when they go out. They want to take a job right away. They're not equipped for anything. They never should have been in college to begin with, 90% of them. Send them to trade school. See if they can even do that. That's not easy to learn how to turn a screwdriver or to cut a piece of wood straight. Go see how hard that is to learn how to be a plumber or an electrician or a carpenter or an auto mechanic. We need millions of people retrained to do actual jobs. And they could be done right here in this country. How is it that the Mexican people can train their men to be good tradesmen? Where did they learn to do this? How did so many Mexicans, for example, learn to do these things? The answer is they learned in their home country, which has a better trade school system than we do. And that is because we have been under the delusion for many years that everyone is a college boy, a white-collar web designer, or God knows what he's going to be, a CEO or a web designer. Come on, create a website. Well, the fact is he has to learn how to fix a carburetor. Maybe he ought to learn how to put a brake into a car. Maybe he ought to learn how to attach a muffler underneath the carriage of a car. And then we could become self-sufficient again from the point of view of labor. But that's skilled labor, my friends. Trade schools are not unskilled labor. That is skilled labor, and we can certainly train an entire generation in less than a year. We train men before World War II how to fly airplanes in a year. We train 17-year-old boys how to fly Mustangs in less than a year. We train them how to drive tanks in less than a year. Don't tell me we can't train a generation how to turn a screwdriver in less than a year. No, it's a matter of whether we have the vision to do it, and we have the leadership to do it, and whether we have the will to do it. The answer is I have it. Do you? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, look, the good news is that immigration is now the center of the debate in the United States of America, and it's already had a positive effect because other states are going to mimic Arizona. And Obama has acknowledged last night on Air Force One that the amnesty for illegals is off the table, and that's because Nancy Pelosi probably did a straw vote amongst the Democrats who she beat up to pass health care, and they all said, leave me alone. That's it. I'm not going to lose my seat for you, and that's the end of it. So if they're not just running a feign here, it looks to me like our fears of another juggernaut coming at us in the form of amnesty for illegals is not going to be a battle we have to fight. The battle we have to fight right now is a battle of reality, and that's the new Arizona immigration law, SB 1070, and we're going to have this discussion today and probably for weeks to come. Let's go to Boca Raton, Florida. She's on the other side. Joe in Boca Raton, welcome. You say the Arizona law is wrong. Is that correct?
Yes, I think it's absolutely racist that they're telling the illegal aliens that they can't come into Arizona. They can do what they want to. I mean, we're America. We have to have open
arms. Wait. You're saying too many things at once. They're saying what?
That we need
Wait, ma'am. Are you aware of the fact that a country has borders? Are you aware of that?
I'm saying that we need to get rid of our borders so we can welcome all forms and walks of life.
Of course, you're pulling my leg.
I'm serious. Just look at how your ancestors got here.
Well, they didn't come here illegally. Maybe yours did. How did yours get here? Did they come here illegally?
I don't know, but they got over here somehow, and now.
Well, apparently they pulled from the lowest level of the gene pool from where you came from, that you don't even know how a nation is defined. How many people do you think this country could sustain with open borders? Is there a limit, an upper limit in your mind?
I think we could sustain so many people because there's capitalism.
I said how many? How many people are in America today? How many millions?
600 million.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy, we're in trouble, aren't we? So you just guessed at that, I could see, because that's not the correct number.
No,
okay, we'll give you another chance. How many people do you think the United States of America could sustain if we had no borders and anybody could just enter the country? How many people?
We need to put limits on people's income because people are making way too much money and they need to...
So in other words, it's not the number of people here, it's the amount of money people are making.
Yes, it's the greed in America. We need to spread
I
that
see.
Out.
How much money do you make a year, Joe?
Nothing. Right now I'm on a welfare check, but that doesn't matter anymore.
Ah, you're on a welfare check. That's why you're so benevolent with other people's money. So you're telling men like me who work for a living, who pay your welfare check, that I should be limited in how much I make so you can make more money doing nothing?
Well, I think that you don't pay my welfare check. I think Obama pays my welfare check.
What do you mean? Obama pays it out of his pocket? Where does Obama get the money from, Joe?
I don't know his stash. I don't know where he gets it. But the main thing is...
What do you mean you don't know where he gets it from? It's called the public treasury. Where does the money come from into the public treasury, Joe?
Illegal aliens who work for a living and then they pass the money to the government.
Joe, you're a very sick person. I really pity you, Joe. And you never should have been able to get on the show because a man wants to find hell as a place where there is no reason. And you just dragged me into hell, Joe. New York City, WOR, John, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I have a point to make regarding the immigration law in Arizona. To all the politicians who think this is illegal profiling, I would like to ask them why they think it's okay to profile for votes. They go out and target groups such as the evangelicals in the South, the soccer moms, or the Latinos. They pander to these people and target them and come up with statistics and voting blocks and they're doing the same thing.
That's right. And Janet Napolitano used racial profiling when she said the threat to America is not from Islamic extremists, but returning war veterans, anti-abortion protesters, the Christian right, and people in conservative movements like the Tea Parties. Is that not racial profiling?
Exactly right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. We know what it's all about. It's called the illegitimi are grinding us down. Illegitimi non-carborundum, 1-800-449-8255. For all of the ignoramuses out there, the new law in Arizona is a repeat, a duplicate, a mirror of the federal law which is on the books, which requires aliens, that is non-citizens, to register and carry their documents with them. The law states that violating federal immigration law is now a state crime as well as a federal crime. Did you understand that? And for those of you who are soft in the head, the next time you go to an airport, tell them that you don't want to provide your ID. Tell them that you find it an offense to you as an American with freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of travel. You don't want to show anybody your identification, all you good liberals. Why don't you just put your money where your mouth is? Show them that you don't want to show a driver's license to get on an airplane. Show them that you don't want to show a driver's license when you try to cash a check at a grocery store. Tell them you're offended that you have to show ID because you live in a free country. When are you people going to put two and two together? Identification is part of reality, except for illegal aliens who have been coddled by the illegitimate
Savage
Democrats. It is the Savage Nation. So here we are. the country has finally stood up to the onslaught of illegal aliens into the country, and the libs are screaming in a hysterical manner, Nazi, fascist, blah, blah, blah. And they don't actually know what the law is, and they don't know it mirrors federal law, exactly mirrors it. And they don't know that Arizona has had enough with the drug dealing and the murders and the rapes. They don't know that Arizona has been hit hardest by illegal immigration, even though every state in the country has been hit by it. And what you don't know is that the illegal immigrants and the U.S.-born children comprise one-fifth of those in the state living in poverty, one-third of those without health insurance. So when you look at what Obama just did with regard to forcing you to pay for health insurance, what you didn't get during the debate was that a lot of it was going to go for paying for health insurance for illegal aliens, even though they said it didn't. They were lying. Arizona, Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael, I live in Tucson, Arizona, and before this law was put into effect, every day on my way to work, and I only drive about 20 miles one way to work, I'd see, at least 40 or 50 vehicles with Sonoran Mexico license plates.
Yeah.
In the last few days, I've hardly seen any.
Oh. You mean it had a chilling effect already? No wonder the liberal politicians are screaming. I guess they can't get their supply of cannabis delivered on time.
Absolutely. And if they really believe that all these terrorist Mexicans with the war, the drug lords and this and that, why don't we just declare war against Mexico?
Well, I don't have to go that far as to say that any politician who is oh so friendly to the illegal aliens who have overrun your state, I believe that there may be a, let us say, less than kosher reason for it. It may not be based purely on humanitarian sentiments, if you get the drift.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you know, who is your governor of Arizona? I watched her on TV the other night. I think she is better than Sarah Palin as a face of the Republican Party. Do you know anything about her background? Was she a prosecutor? Beowulf, did we look it up?
Yeah. No, but I wouldn't be surprised if any of them.
We're gonna give you the lowdown within a few minutes. I asked for it earlier. I'll get it right now on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Hawaii. Steve, what do you think about the illegal aliens in Hawaii? What's going on there?
Oh, Dr. Savage, let me tell you something. My wife is from South Korea. She's a legal alien. She had 3 attempts to come into this country. She did it the right way. She jumped through all the hoops, learned the language, learned how to read and write English. She's appalled when she looks at what's happening in America on the borders. All these people, by the thousands, coming across, abusing our health care. She's a taxpaying citizen just like every other American-born citizen is, and she paid her dues. It drives her crazy. Something's got to be done.
Well, it is being done, and you see who's screaming the loudest against it. It's the illegitimate Democrat Party screaming the loudest along with their rhino buddies in the fake Republican Party. But the people know what's going on, and the people have stood up. Thank you for calling. It's the same in every country. It's not just Arizona. Chicago, Jose, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I grew up in a border town in Arizona called Douglas, and I feel bad for these Border Patrol agents. The whole border is so open, and those poor guys have their hands tied. They get spit at, shot at, they get rocks thrown at their trucks. I live in Chicago now, but where I grew up, it's a mess. And if most people in America knew what the border situation was like, they'd be outraged. They just don't know.
They don't know because the American media is complicit with the government media complex in not showing them the murders, the rapes, the drug dealing going on across the border. But you see, the American people are ignorant. Most of them don't go to hospitals and see what goes on even in their emergency rooms and how many illegals are getting how much care. Or go into the courts and see how the court system is swamped right now because of the illegal alien and the crime wave in this country. That's the reality of it. But The governor of Arizona is an interesting woman. I don't have the data on her. We'll get it in a moment. I watched her on TV. She was sound. She was sane. She was tough. She was fearless. She is actually a better candidate for the presidency than Sarah Palin for a number of reasons. It's not that Sarah Palin's bad, but Sarah Palin's a grandstander. Sarah Palin would rather have been a country western singer than a politician. Sarah Palin's doing very well as a commentator and as a reality show woman. She's raking it in, good for her. She's making all the money she ever wanted, but I don't think her heart's really in the political world. I believe that the politician, the governor of Arizona, is the woman who we really ought to look into and really ought to ask to be the new titular head of the conservative movement of the United States of America. We're going to find out a little bit more about her during the show, And the minute we do, we will report back to you on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Dino in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage, Dr. Savage, it's a privilege.
Thank you.
Retired deputy sheriff. 20 years ago, I was locking up illegal aliens. Routine patrol, come across a suspicious person, regardless.
Wait. When you say you're in New York, but you don't mean in New York, do you?
No, sir. Matter of fact, it was in Newt Gingrich's congressional district at that time.
Where?
In Atlanta.
You were a sheriff in Atlanta. You were locking up illegals, and then what happened?
Okay. After I lock them up, I do a Terry stop, check them for warrants and warrants. They have no ID. Place them under arrest, take them to jail, at which time when I found out it was illegal, I would call the immigration service in Atlanta. The agent in charge was happy that I put him under arrest. He would issue me a hold order through the National Criminal Information System computer system. Therefore, they would come and get him in a couple of days, and for CYA, I would ask the agent for the local federal statute, which I would put on a regular local citation to give to him to cover all parties concerned.
Right.
What they were coming, the agent was really happy because what happened is back, now this is 1990, what was happening is the legal aliens at that time were coming across from I-20, and the agent knew that they had a big gap right around the Texas-New Mexico border where they were coming in, and there was a big problem they were trying to solve, and he was happy because I caught many of them coming in there by the truckloads at night, and they would be waiting on the overpasses outside of Atlanta.
Yes, the reason they have no ID is because the scum in the ACLU tell them to burn their ID and not have any in order to bottle up the system so the system can't deport them. I know what this is all about. It's the vermin in the ACLU who've advised them to burn their ID or not come in with any ID specifically so they can't be deported. I know what's going on. It's the ACLU that's the head of the snake. It's those rats that ought to be deported. Thank you for the call. Now, the governor of Arizona, Jan Brewer, born 1944. She automatically became governor of Arizona, replacing former governor Janet Napolitano, if you can believe it. Now, who was she? She is a wonderful administrator. She served as a Republican in the Arizona House from 83 to 86. She was then a state senator from 87 to 96. And she was a state senator in 1988, and a wonderful one she was. In 1996, the governor of Arizona, Brewer, ran for chairman of the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. Now, why is that important to you? When she won, she inherited a debt of $165 million. And by the end of her tenure in 2002, she left Maricopa County in one of the strongest financial positions of any county in the nation. The Governing Magazine, a magazine called Governing Magazine, proclaimed that the county was one of the two best-managed large counties in the nation. She was then elected Secretary of State of Arizona in 02 and served until 09. So in other words, the woman knows how to manage things. Governor Brewer is Arizona's fourth female governor and its third consecutive female governor. Brewer is running for re-election for a full term in the Arizona gubernatorial election 2010. And when she does win a full term, she will have to leave office in 2015. I believe that Governor Brewer ought to consider a higher office than the governor of Arizona. How about you? Las Vegas, Elmer, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello. Happy to be on your show. I was an illegal alien at the age of 9. My dad brought us to this country through Mexico. I'm a Salvadorian native. We got denied the American visa. At the time, there was a civil war in the 80s. So give you an idea where I'm coming from.
Right.
When we got to Mexico, they didn't treat us with a red carpet there. They basically got us for money, all the money we had.
And when you say they got you for money, you mean the Federales shook you down?
Yeah, we took a flight from Mexico City to Calexico, Mexicali, should I say, and they were waiting for us there because our passport had U.S. Embassy stamps on it. So they knew that we were coming to the States.
Right.
And they took us to this one room, interrogated us for hours, drilling my dad. I was 9 years old, like a kid. You don't know what was going on.
Right.
And they shook him for all his money. But my dad was smart enough to sew money in our pants, inside of our pants seams. And that's where he kept most of our money.
Mm-hmm.
In case that would happen, because he knew what kind of Mexico is.
Mexico is, a very dangerous place. They mistreat immigrants. They shake them down, rape them, murder them, beat them up. And yet they have the nerve to tell us we have no right to pass our own immigration laws. Elmer, thank you very much for calling the Savage Nation. Just a few other footnotes of Jan Brewer, the governor of Arizona. She also signed a bill that allows Arizona citizens to conceal weapons without having to get a permit. So that's another reason that the vermin in the ACLU and the left wing is going crazy. Did you understand that? You're not going to believe more of what she's done. The governor of Arizona, Jan Brewer, signed a bill that repealed legislation put into place by Big Sis Janet Napolitano, which had granted domestic partners of state employees the ability to be considered as dependents. So Big Sis Napolitano pushed through a domestic partnership law. This governor repealed it. About 750 state workers will be affected by it. These 750 state workers are receiving about $3 million of the state's $650 million budget just for employee health care. Well, she did a lot of good things. And when it came to health care, she cut out a lot of the health care. She said that cutting out these programs will increase the number of people in the state without coverage. But she said, we do not have the money. We are broke. So you understand why she's hated by the illiberal left. She has common sense. She has guts. And she's an actual leader. She's a true governor. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. We're having a nice discussion of the law in Arizona and how the hysterical liberals are going to bat for those who are breaking the law. And I want to make the same point a few times. When lawmakers side with lawbreakers, tell us where the American people stand. Moreover, the next time a hysterical liberal starts screaming Nazi and fascist over a martini, all you got to do is calmly say to them, the new Arizona law mirrors federal law, which already requires illegal aliens, non-citizens, to register and carry their documents with them. It's on the books. That the federal government is not enacting their own law, not practicing their own law, and leaving America naked to the invaders does not mean that it is right. And if the government thinks that U.S. Code 8, U.S. Code 1304E, and 8 U.S. Code 1306A are illegitimate or illegal or criminal or fascist, then they should repeal the law. They should have a debate about the law, and they should force our, quote, representatives to get up there and go on record saying, I am against illegal aliens carrying the documents. I want to vote on this. And let's see which way our representative vote, and then you can decide whether you want to vote for your representatives anymore or if they actually represent you or do they represent a foreign government. It's as simple as that. That's how a democracy is supposed to work. It's not supposed to work by a bunch of demagogues screaming Nazi and fascist every time you stand up to one of their activities, as is going on in this case. That's my opinion. What's yours? San Diego Gene, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, retired Customs and Border Protection here, 26 years here in San Diego, all up and down the Mexican border. You know, I'm all for the law, and I think it's late in coming, though, is that we were enforcing this law many years ago on the border, stopping the people coming in who were bringing their school children in here to San Diego. And after approximately about 3 months, we were told to knock it off because the politicians got involved, and they really put pressure on us to subside on that. But the reason why I think that the law may fail is because, number one, it will overtax the local police forces who have enough to do as it is already in fighting the local crimes with drugs and gangs and everything else. In addition to that, I don't know what the policies are of actually stopping someone, but it's convoluted in the sense that there is profiling and then there is racial profiling. Profiling is, in a general term, suspicious vehicles, places where they shouldn't be, people hanging out that don't live there in that particular neighborhood, who are not from that particular area, as opposed to racial profiling. I remember years ago that was part of our job. That is how we caught drugs at the border, was by profiling, until the liberals got involved and the politicians got involved and said that we were racially profiling. Well, it was not...
Well, who else would be bringing the drugs in from Mexico? Swedes?
Exactly.
What do they expect? Who are you supposed to stop at the border? Irish nuns?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, but it's the same insanity as coddling the Islamic terrorists at our airports. We both know that they make crippled white children take their braces off, and they usher in anyone with a headdress and bow down to them. We know what's going on in the country. We got everything upside down here.
TSA pulled over myself and my daughter flying from Boston to San Diego and shook me down, and behind me was a woman in a wheelchair. And yet, Arab people or Arab-looking people from those particular countries went right through.
Well, that's because we have an illegitimate government. There's no question about it that they're working for the other side. There's nothing else to explain this. When you've got a Justice Department and you've got a Homeland Security Department covering up for the massacre at Fort Hood, they won't even answer Senator Lieberman's request for emails, because if they did, they would show that the U.S. Army itself is culpable for that slaughter. What else do we have to say? We have an out-of-control situation here, and the people finally took some control back in Arizona, and as a result, the illegitimate, hysterical liberal establishment has gone into overdrive. That is exactly what's going on. But what has to happen now is 10 more states have to enact the law. And the minute we have 10 more states enacting the law, will overwhelm the federal government with reality, and they're going to have to follow the will of the people. Remember the old 70s adage of the liberals themselves. When the leaders won't lead, the people must lead the leaders. Don't you remember those liberal bumper stickers, those inane bumper stickers? They didn't have any meaning to you perhaps 20, 30 years ago. Well, they have a lot of meaning right now. When the leaders won't lead the people must lead the leaders. We are the people, and we must lead the leaders to follow the laws that are on the books. How hard is that for you to figure out? And if you do not like the laws, then the laws should be repealed through careful and considered debate. That is how a democracy works. And if you don't like a democracy, then you don't belong in America. Then move to Iran, or move to Syria, or move to China, or God knows where. But you can't just simply say we're not going to follow the law because we don't like it. That will lead to anarchy and chaos. And if that's what you want, don't include me in that count. And most of you liberals are hysterical because you don't even know that the Arizona law is really nothing new. It mimics federal law. How many times do I have to say the same thing to you? Perhaps if you actually knew that it mimicked federal law, you wouldn't be so hysterical and so, what's the word I'm looking for? Cavalier in your use of the word fascist and Nazi, which I find extremely offensive, and I find it demented for Republican Senator Connie Mack to scream that the law is like a Nazi law. Shame on him. He is taking the graves of the millions who were killed by the Nazis and fundamentally spitting on the graves of the real victims of Nazism. Shame on Connie Mack. Shame on all of those illegitimate politicians who are simply demagoguing in order to win the votes of illegal aliens. That's all there is to it. That's how I see it. It's one man's opinion. I am only a talk show, so I have no power whatsoever. How many more times do we have to discuss the same thing? Most Americans agree with me. Particularly immigrants in this country of Hispanic origin, they all agree with me. Immigrants who did it the right way, who waited in line, they all agree with me. The only people who don't agree with me are those who have special interests tied to the illegal alien situation. And that ranges all across the board. That includes fake Republicans like Newt Gingrich, like the guy Karl Rove. They're all in favor of throwing the law out. You know that? They're showing their true colors, I keep telling you. Karl Rove, I don't know how you haven't seen through him. How could you not see through a Newt Gingrich? Don't you know which side they're really on? They're not on your side. Again, I want to close with one line in this hour. Try to remember it. When lawmakers side with lawbreakers, where does that leave the people? Moreover, the new Arizona law is not new law. It mirrors federal law, which already requires aliens to carry and register their documents with them. End of story. I rest my case. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, the big news today is the Immigration Reform Act in Arizona. Everyone's been screaming for an Immigration Reform Act. Well, Arizona went ahead and passed one. Guess what? The liars on the left said, oh, no, no immigration reform. We want amnesty for illegals. And around America, they're screaming for the heads of the citizens of Arizona for wanting to be protected from the drug gangs and the illegal aliens who have swamped their schools and hospitals. In San Francisco, a so-called supervisor, David Campos, wants a boycott of Arizona to go further. You hear? They want travel eliminated. But even further than that, they want the people of Arizona punished, you see. Then there are so-called religious groups opposing Arizona's new immigration law, calling it a sin. A Latino clergy group or this clergy group. In other words, radical, socially engineered churches that don't really respect God. They only use the church as a tool of Marxist-Leninism. So don't give me that garbage. As far as I'm concerned, any church that's entered this immigration debate should lose their 501c3 status, period. Separation of church and state, anyone? We then had Senator Robert Menendez, New Jersey, attacking Arizona, saying it violates the Constitution, which is a lie. Then Representative Raul Grijalva, Democrat Arizona, really Democrat Mexico, says that the Constitution was hijacked by extremists. You hear this? Then Representative Nydia Velazquez, Democrat New York, says that it's hijacked and will lead to a profiling. Then Juan Carlos Ruiz, director of the so-called Latino Federation of Greater Washington, comparing the Arizona immigration law to slavery. Can you believe this? Could you hear this? I mean, it's getting crazier by the second.
It's a parade of insane people.
Then, of course, about insanity, there's Obama the Leninist saying that at a certain point you've made enough money. Really? Huh. I didn't know the government could put caps on how much money you make.
I'm sure he'd be happy to give back the $5 million he made last year from his book.
I guess. Well, that leads us to the fascists of the left. I mean, the fascists of the left have defamed Arizona in front of the world. Why? Simply because the people of Arizona stood up and said they weren't going to be raped, robbed, and murdered anymore by illegal aliens. The left wing in this country has called them Nazis. Because the people of Arizona simply want to arrest and deport people who are in this state illegally, the illegal alien lobbyists are comparing them to the Gestapo. But you see, the immigration law is nothing like the German Gestapo. You see, police in Arizona have to have a reasonable suspicion that the person they arrest is an illegal alien. The police are not allowed to use race as the only basis for their arrest. And the worst thing that could happen to them is that they would be deported to their home country where they remain a citizen. But you see, that's not what the Nazis did. The Nazis rounded people up, tortured them, and took them to death camps. The Nazis used the race of Jews as the only factor in deciding whether someone was arrested. The Nazis didn't deport people. They sent them to concentration camps to be slaughtered by the millions. Now, this may not sound like Arizona's immigration law, but the left is trying to make it so. But let me ask you something. What would you define Janet Napolitano's black helicopters who went after the Michigan militia? Does that sound like the Gestapo? What about when the FBI under Bill Clinton shot Randy Weaver's wife and child? Did that sound like the Gestapo? What about when Janet Reno burned dozens of people alive at Waco, Texas? Did that sound like the Nazis? You didn't read any of that in the press, did you? So before the fascists of the left start defaming an entire state, they should look at themselves and see that in the mirror they see the true fascists. But the biggest hypocrite in all of this is Mexico itself, the government of Mexico, criticizing the state of Arizona for passing a law which permits illegal aliens to be arrested by local police. Now Mexico has threatened Arizona with a boycott for daring to enforce the laws of the United States of America. They've even called the people of Arizona racist. But you see, it turns out that Mexico has a little racist problem of its own. A report has been issued documenting the widespread abuse of immigrants into Mexico from other countries in the nearby region. The report accuses the Mexican government of turning a blind eye or even participating in the kidnapping, rape, and real murder of immigrants to Mexico. The report states, illegal immigrants to Mexico from Central America are frequently pulled off trains, kidnapped en masse, held at gang hideouts. Many of the immigrants are beaten, raped, or killed. One female immigrant was robbed and forced off a train by Mexican federales and subsequently attacked by a gang and raped. And who issued this report about the nightmare in Mexico and how they treat immigrants? Not a conservative group, not the state of Arizona, but none other than the ultra-liberal, uber-lib Amnesty International. And here's what their report says about the hypocrisy of Mexico on illegal immigrants. Hundreds of irregular migrants go missing or are killed every year as they travel north. The journey is fraught with dangers both from precarious forms of travel and from the violence of criminal gangs. So the next time you hear a liberal talking about how fascist Arizona is, ask the dummy if they know how they treat illegal aliens in Mexico itself, down Mexico way. I'm sure they don't. Look at this story just came out. Look at this story. Pet poodle in New York City suburb killed by a coyote. I mean, that's close to my heart. Rye, New York. Police say a coyote has killed a pet poodle on the grounds of a retirement home in New York City suburbs. That's like a do-a. Rye Police Commissioner William Cunningham. The poodle was tied up and left alone in the yard Wednesday by an elderly resident at the Osborne Retirement Community. Someone called police about a possible coyote attack. Was the right to find the dog's carcass and see a coyote running off. Coyotes weigh 25 to 50 pounds. Miniature poodles are usually between 12 and 18 pounds. It's Teddy's weight. Teddy's like a 14er. What if I came and saw a carcass? I wouldn't know what to do. Well, you don't leave a poodle out at night in any area where there's a wild kingdom out there. In Florida, there's foxes. In California, we got coyotes, we got mountain lions, we got liberals, we got socialists, we got the Leninists. You don't want to leave a poodle out there with socialists running around the woods of Marin County, stoned out of their minds on medical marijuana. I love this. They arrested an outdoors writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. They found him growing like commercial quantities in his barn. This is Tom Outdoor, Mr. Outdoor. Him and his old lady were like growing reams and reams and reams. I mean, and they had like printed sheets on for medical marijuana use for him and the wife and the son. And he wasn't arrested. He was released. It's bad for business in Sonoma County to arrest a drug grower. Everyone is on medical marijuana up there, including the police chief probably. The whole country's screwed. That's all. Now you got pilot. It's one thing to be a talk show host and say what you want, right? But what if you're a pilot and you take an antidepressant now and you have suicidal ideations? Oh, that's okay, says the FAA. We figured out like one plane crash per year is acceptable. Are they crazy? What if you're a pilot of a plane and you get a co-pilot who you know is a nutcase, is now on antidepressants? What are you going to do about it? Oh, I would say give Prozac to pirates. That's what I would say. Next time you catch them, stick Prozac in their mouth and throw them overboard.
Savage.
You know, the financial crisis is confusing for the average listener because of the many terms and the practices used that unless you have studied or are active in the market, it's very difficult to follow. Joining us now to help clarify some of these financial terms is David Mason from the Heritage Foundation.
Thanks, Michael. It's great to be on your show. The Senate is debating a financial reform bill this week, and one of the big pieces of that is the regulation of something called derivatives. Now, derivatives, it's a strange word, but it just means a financial instrument that is used to transfer risk. And somebody who's got a risky financial proposition can pay a fee to somebody else and transfer that risk. And there are all kinds of risks, the risk of rising prices, the risk of shortages, and even the risk that somebody won't pay their bills on time can be transferred through these financial derivatives. Now, back in 2008, when the economy went south, a lot of people were concerned about the role of derivatives in driving that financial crisis. And so the Senate is about to put limits on the way derivatives can be bought and sold and traded. And the problem is that they haven't looked in careful detail at what happened in 2008, tried to treat the problems, but rather they're going to go ahead and regulate everything. And as a result, the people who caused the problems are going to be just fine. The big banks are going to keep being big banks. But the people who use derivatives to counter their everyday risk in the marketplace, the risk of rising fuel prices or food prices, are going to have to pay more to use these financial instruments. They're the ones who are going to take it on the chin. So that's really the big problem with the Senate financial reform bill and its provisions on derivatives, and it's the reason that the bill's been hung up and filibustered, and they can't come to a vote on it right now.
It seems to me that Congress itself doesn't understand these terms or the problem.
Well, no, absolutely. One of the big problems is Congress just doesn't understand markets. And they don't understand that derivatives are things that are used in economic markets every day, for instance, by airlines that are going to have to buy fuel next month or in 6 months to fly my kids home at the end of summer vacation. And the way the airline can sell a ticket today and pay its fuel costs in August or September is by buying a derivative that hedges against the fuel price risk. And Congress has this misperception, I'm afraid, that derivatives are all about these big traders in New York. Sure, the traders in New York have a role in the derivatives market, but they're not the ones who use them. They're just the ones who transact business in them. And so by dumping a bunch of new regulatory requirements on derivatives and increasing the cost and the price of derivatives, the people they're hurting are the operating companies out there in the economy, steel companies, railroad companies, so on like that, and not the big Wall Street banks. So that fundamental misunderstanding on the part of Congress is one of the problems that we're dealing with.
Well, this market is like betting on something to fail.
Oh, a derivative is a bet that the market will move, which is a sure bet. And there's been a big focus on the people who bet on the failing side, but there are always two sides to a derivative bet. And so a typical derivative that people wouldn't object to very much is a trade of a floating interest rate for a fixed interest rate. And the way that you're able to get a 30-year mortgage is the bank that pays interest on deposits that could be taken out in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, how do they loan you money for 15, 20, 30 years? Well, they engage in a derivative transaction that trades a fixed interest rate for a floating interest rate. And you can go out there in the market and get those. You know, an average consumer wouldn't, but the bank does. And the bank's ability to do that is what gives the bank the ability to offer you a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage if that's what you want to buy. And so one side is betting that interest rates are going to go up, and one side's betting that interest rates are going to go down. So you can look at the negative side of that transaction, whatever you think the negative is, and say, well, that's a big problem. And in the bond area with a derivative called credit default swap, it was a bet that the bond was going to go bad. But the better on the other side was that the bond was going to stay good. And so by looking at only half of the transaction, yeah, you can say it was a bet that things were going to get worse. But that's the whole idea of derivatives, that if you're worried about things getting worse, then you can engage in a transaction with somebody who's less worried than you are, and pay a fee, and you can trade that risk. And if it's done right, it's good for everybody. It's good for both sides of the deal, and it's good for the economy. Obviously, if it's done wrong, you can blow up your company like AIG did. And the trick in this legislation is to be subtle enough that we can fix the problems without ruining the whole deal.
You think Congress is overreacting?
Vast, vast overreaction. Because a few companies like AIG misused derivatives, Congress wants to step in and regulate every derivatives trade, every trader, every buyer, every seller, and every single trade with the same kind of regulation that they're going to dump on these big insurance companies like AIG. And again, it's not going to hurt the big insurance companies. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday about Berkshire Hathaway which is a big conglomerate with insurance operations, trying to get a special provision in the derivatives bill. Right now, and it's not going to hurt Berkshire Hathaway that much. It may cost them some money, but they'll survive. The people it's going to hurt are the small banks and the small companies who need to use these derivatives so they can plan their business developments and not worry about whether interest rates are going to rise or fall, but they can just plan on a stable economic future, not worry about whether foreign exchange rates are going to rise or fall, and not worry too much about whether people are going to default on their bonds.
Well, do you think the bill is going to pass?
Boy, if I had a crystal ball about what Congress was going to do, I'd be rich and I wouldn't be on the radio. So I don't know what Congress is going to do. I can certainly hope that the sensible minds prevail and that they find a way of regulating in this area that focuses on the big companies and focuses on the specific problems in the derivatives market, which is entirely possible to do, and doesn't engage in this vast overreaction where they simply regulate everything and essentially hurt the economy and hurt a lot of individual companies as kind of collateral damage. I mean, they already paid once when they had to bail out these big firms, and now they're being asked to pay again because they're going to have the regulations dumped on them that were intended to stop big firms from blowing themselves up again.
What do you think they should do?
Well, regulation is going to be with us whether we like it or not. But there are sensible ways to regulate ways to regulate that aren't so sensible. And right now what the Senate is proposing to do just isn't sensible because it tries to regulate everything. Yes, they could go in and do some specific targeted things to try to regulate the big players in the market. And one of the things that's in the bill that would do that is, for instance, to require the big players in the market to hold a certain amount of collateral or capital. That is to say that they're going to have to put some money aside to meet losses in the marketplace. And that's a standard practice in the banking industry, a standard practice in a lot of other financial industries, and extending that to the derivatives market would be just fine. The problem is that what Congress wants to do is extend it to everybody who even touches these derivatives, including the customers and the buyers and the sellers. And normally in financial regulation, we don't do that. And so that's where they've gone too far. If we could get them to pull back and say, yes, we're going to require the big banks to set aside capital to use if these derivative deals go bad, then that would be a sensible reform. But by requiring every single company, individual, who buys and sells these things to set aside capital, they're simply dumping a regulatory burden on the economy and on these small companies that isn't necessary.
Dave Mason, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael. It was great to be on with you today.
Joining us now with an exclusive Savage Nation report is Eric Stackelbeck.
Michael, always great to be here with you. You know, President Obama brought this Muslim Entrepreneurship Summit to Washington, D.C. over the past 2 days. Basically, he talked about this last year, Michael, in his Cairo speech. He wanted to forge greater business, economic, scientific, and technological ties with the Muslim world as part of his grand outreach to Islam. Well, the Entrepreneurship Summit did come to town the last 2 days. You had over 100, I think some, let's see, according to this article from the Egyptian Press, Michael, it brought together 250 business people from over 50 countries, including 15 from Egypt, the largest delegation of any country. Egypt, which, as we know, is the power seat of the Muslim Brotherhood. But I'll return to that in a second, Michael. Basically, with this summit, you're looking to have sort of an exchange program, sort of like Bill Clinton had with China, and that didn't work out too well, needless to say. But Obama sort of wants to have an exchange program with the Muslim world. We will bring Muslim business people and entrepreneurs and scientists here to the U.S., and we'll send our people over there to the Muslim world to help them out. Number one, Michael, here's the first problem with this strategy.
What is that?
Who are these great Muslim entrepreneurs? Who are these great scientific innovators in the Muslim world? I have yet to see them. As a matter of fact, in the 1,400 years since Islam roared out of the Arabian Peninsula, I think I can name on one hand the number of Muslim inventors. Really? Now, pre-Islam, of course, in the Middle East, we had a lot of learning, a lot of great empires, a lot of education, the cradle of civilization. As we know, that creativity was effectively stifled after Islam took root in the 7th century. So I'd like to see, number one, who these scientific and technological innovators are. So that's the first question I have, Michael. Number two, the entrepreneurs. Now, who are we going to bring here from the Muslim business world? Are we going to have perhaps someone similar to a Saudi prince, Al-Walid bin Talal? You know him, Michael, the billionaire who donated $20 million to Harvard and $20 million to Georgetown University to help build Middle Eastern study programs there. Now, that's a big question I have. Is this going to be basically a Trojan horse for people like Saudi Prince Al-Walid bin Talal, people like the Muslim Brotherhood? As we heard, 15 people from Egypt, the largest delegation, which is the Brotherhood's real base, Egypt, 15 were at this entrepreneurship summit. I think, Michael, this has the potential for a big Trojan horse here on U.S. soil. I think this program presents the perfect way for a guy like a Saudi prince, like a Brotherhood operative, to get their claws into the U.S., into the highest levels of the business world. We know that the Muslim Brotherhood has already established a foothold here in the highest levels of the U.S. government. As a matter of fact, just last month, Michael, Janet Napolitano, the Department of Homeland Security chief, met with groups like the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America. These are radical Islamist groups that are directly linked to the Muslim Brotherhood. It's no secret. So this administration is obviously Brotherhood-friendly. And the Bush administration had the same problem, Michael. They also met with these Brotherhood-linked groups. But the Obama administration, we have all the information now about the Brotherhood, about their activities on U.S. soil. We know about the Brotherhood's ultimate goals. They're very patient. They want to overthrow the U.S. government from within. Their documents, which U.S. authorities have seized, clearly state that. This is downright, Michael, I have to say, seditious. Yet, the Obama administration continues to give these groups an open door at the highest levels of government. So what's to say these same groups, given the opportunity to infiltrate the business community here in the U.S., won't do the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Look at Saudi Prince Al-Waleed. We know at Harvard and Georgetown, he helped to build $20 million wings to their Middle East studies programs. So I could gather that the discussion of Islam, the discussion of the Middle East in those specific universities won't exactly be hard-hitting, and it's going to be pretty friendly to the Islamic world, needless to say. So can some of these so-called Muslim entrepreneurs come here and establish a real foothold in the economic world in the U.S.? Could we see something like Sharia finance come into vogue here in the U.S.? We know that Islam, according from their own mouths, Michael, I've interviewed jihadists, I've interviewed terrorists, from their own mouths, they have told me Islam is more than just a religion. Islam is an ideology, it's an entire system, it's an entire way of life. Everything from when to pray, how to dress, what to say, financial decisions, everything goes back to Islam. It's so much more than a religion. And finances is a huge part of that in the Muslim world. Are we going to see a push for Sharia, Islamic law, Sharia-compliant finance here in the U.S., which would include no interest on anything? That's one of the things that they lay down in Sharia law in Islam. The fact that 15 Egyptians, more than any other country, were members of this delegation or members of this summit, I'd like to kind of check their papers, so to speak, and see if there are any ties to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Why do you say that?
The Muslim Brotherhood was founded in Egypt in the 1920s. The Muslim Brotherhood continues to be a very, very strong force in Egypt. And I talked to a foreign intelligence source just yesterday, Michael, who told me Hosni Mubarak, the Egyptian president, is scared to death of the Muslim Brotherhood in his country. He's frightened. This is a movement that's been very, very strong in Egypt over the years. It's a radical movement. Now, we have some segments in the U.S. and the Obama administration say, hey, we can deal with the Brotherhood. The Brotherhood can be a constructive force. No, they can't. Their whole goal is worldwide Islamic Sharia law, submission to Allah. In their own mission statement, Michael, they say jihad is the way. Martyrdom is the path. This is what the Brotherhood is about. They might wear suits and ties. They might speak very, very eloquently, but at the end of the day, their goals are just the same as Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and the rest of them. And as a matter of fact, the Muslim Brotherhood is the granddaddy of them all when it comes to Islamic terror groups. Michael, as you know, they were the precursor to Al-Qaeda, to Hamas.
Right, right, right.
So we know what this group is about, Michael. For the Obama administration to continue to give them an open door at the highest levels of government, the FBI, State Department, DOJ, all meeting with this group is a big problem. And to see these kind of groups linked to the Brotherhood possibly sink their claws into the financial economic realm here in the U.S., especially when our economy's in the tank right now, is a big, big problem. And, Michael, where else or who else is affected by this Muslim outreach by President Obama? This nonstop for the past 18 months, blind, completely naive Muslim outreach that he's been conducting, where he's had his hand slapped away time and time and time again. Who else suffers from this strategy? The biggest victim, other than the American people, is Israel. Now, Israel is the one oasis in the desert of actual entrepreneurship, of actual technological and scientific advances, of actual business acumen. Israel is the one country in that region surrounded by a sea of 280 million Muslims. Israel is the one nation in that region that has actually shown some entrepreneurship. Yet the Obama administration has trampled over Israel, who's been our most loyal, staunchest ally in that region since 1948. The Obama administration has completely thrown them out the window and has cultivated an adversarial relationship with Israel in order to court the Muslim world. A Muslim world, Michael, that, as you know, no matter what we do, is still gonna hate us.
True.
Whenever there's an earthquake, whenever there's a tsunami in the Muslim world, from Indonesia to Pakistan, even Iran, whenever a natural disaster occurs there in the Muslim world, the U.S. is first to offer billions in aid. Economic, military, rebuilding, everything. The U.S. has deposed dictators in the Muslim world, giving them a chance at freedom. Not saying they're going to seize it, but there is a chance at freedom for Muslim people in places like Iraq, Afghanistan, because of the U.S. I think back to the aftermath of 9/11, Michael, when the U.S. was bombing Taliban positions in Afghanistan. At the same time, the U.S. was also dropping food to these people. Unheard of in modern warfare to drop bombs and also drop food to Muslim children in Afghanistan. All this goodwill the U.S., you would think, has built up with the Muslim world. Billions in aid every year to Egypt, billions in aid to Jordan, billions in aid to Saudi Arabia, Pakistan. All of this aid, you would think this would just generate so much goodwill from the Muslim world, but no. We have the direct opposite. And these hackneyed, naive attempts to continue to romance the Muslim world will only blow up in this administration's face. The Muslim world right now sees President Obama, and they're licking their chops. Ahmadinejad, al-Assad in Syria, Nasrallah of Hezbollah, Hamas, al-Qaeda, they see weakness. They're licking their chops right now, and they know that he doesn't get it. They know he's going to let Iran go nuclear unless Israel steps in first. And they know that he'll continue to blindly romance the Muslim world. It's tough to put a finger on why he's so enchanted with the Muslim world, Michael. And it's tough to put a finger on it. But he clearly is, and he's clearly going to continue this blind outreach, and it's going to have a real destructive impact here in the U.S. and potentially disastrous effects. It's all related to this Muslim outreach that he's conducting on every level now. We have security, economic, foreign policy. This blind embrace of Islam, of the Muslim world, is going to hurt this administration and hurt the American people.
Thanks for the report, Eric.
Michael, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure, my friend.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Marxist left wing in America is up in arms over Arizona trying to defend its own borders. Even Francine Sicko is trying to get in on the act and has now declared a boycott of Arizona. Here's San Francisco supervisor David Campos.
We want to follow the model that was followed about 20 years ago around the MLK holiday mm-hmm. controversy, when a number of us from other parts of the country boycotted the state. Following that model, we believe that it's not just travel that should be limited, but that we as a city need to make sure that our taxpayer dollars are not spent in Arizona or doing business with companies that are based in Arizona.
He even accuses Arizona of being un-American. I wonder where Campos comes from. I wonder who Campos gets his funds from.
That kind of unfettered discretion being given to a police officer is dangerous. What does an undocumented immigrant look like? And we in the Latino community know very well what it means is that if you look Latino in Arizona, you are going to be suspect. And that's wrong. That's un-American.
Of course, the far-left radical churches are calling Arizona's law a sin.
Now, churches and temples will ask law enforcement not to come on their grounds looking for immigrants.
Could you end up housing people on parish grounds indefinitely and effectively daring law enforcement to come get them?
We'll see. What you see today is the beginning of faith leaders in this community carefully considering what they must do in order to resist.
And this man calls himself a man of the cloth? He is a politician, not a preacher. His 501c3 should be pulled.
Now, churches and temples will ask law enforcement not to come on their grounds looking for immigrants.
Could you end up housing people on parish grounds indefinitely and effectively daring law enforcement to come get them?
We'll see. What you see today is the beginning of faith leaders in this community carefully considering what they must do in order to resist.
Resist? They're breaking the law. And CNN is aiding and abetting them. Continuing in the parade of left-wing fascists is Senator Robert Menendez.
Arizona has become the show-me-your-paper state. And if I was a citizen of Arizona or if I were visiting in Arizona, the only papers I would intend to show is the Constitution of the United States that says that I have rights as a citizen and that I am not a second-class citizen in this country.
You wouldn't know the Constitution if we're burning right in front of your face. On the economic side of things, here's an amazing clip from Bill Clinton, which I actually agree with.
I'm not sure on this particular SEC deal. I've read a lot of material on this. And I'm not sure they violated the law by not telling people that John Paulson suggested the securities that would be in this CDO because of the ability of people on the other side to get information.
You know, I agree with Bill Clinton. But it doesn't seem to me that I ever agree with Obama.
We're not trying to push financial reform because we begrudge success that's fairly earned. I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money, but, you know, that part of the American way is, you know, you can just keep on making it if you're providing a good product or you're providing good service.
Obama says at a certain point you've made enough money? Really? How about the $5 million he made last year himself? Well, I don't think it applies to him. You see, an animal farm. Some animals are more equal than others. Okay, I dare you not to go to michaelsavage.com today because here's what you're going to miss from the Wash Times. White House is seeking to soften sanctions on Iran. And you libs who love Israel, are there any libs who support Israel anymore? I don't think so, Beowulf. Here's some good news. Last night on Air Force One, Obama has backed off on amnesty for illegal aliens. Obama said there may not be an appetite in Congress for dealing with immigration after going through a tough year. In other words, he pushed his own members too far, and they said, no thanks. Radical anti-American clergy seek to block Arizona immigrant law. In Alabama, thank God we have a candidate who said, this is Alabama, we speak English. And he does not want Alabama to offer the driver's license test in 12 other languages. Tequila party riots are heating up, covered up by the media. Representative Duncan Hunter says, deport the children of illegals. Good for him. A bill to block illegal immigrants' benefits has failed in the communist state of Massachusetts. The Democrat-controlled Massachusetts House came within a razor-thin margin yesterday of advancing a Republican proposal to block public benefits for illegal immigrants, but it failed. Obama's election year pitch leaves out white males. The real reason liberals accuse Tea Partiers of racism is because liberalism is in rigor mortis. Liberals have no platform to stand on other than to attack American citizens who have had enough. Finally, on the bottom of michaelsavage.com, you're not going to believe this. Spin doctors in England are trying to convince the pensioner to pose for a photo with Prime Minister Gordon Brown. I don't think she'll do it. That's it from michaelsavage.com. Let's have a little rock and roll for the minute on the Savage Nation. So what are you looking forward to in the future under Obama? What do you think is going to happen in this country in 1 year, in 2 years, in 3 years? Remember, he's young yet. Certainly isn't going to be the America that your father grew up in. It's certainly not going to be an America where hard work got you somewhere. And we know all of that. So what do you think is coming to this country? Many people are frightened of this man. And they're rightly frightened of this man. They're rightly frightened. Stay tuned on your local affiliate and, of course, with God's will and your listenership.